This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Monday edition, we'll seize the moment and take a look at the highlights from the 2017 Values Voters Summit that ended yesterday in Washington, D.C. If you were there, then you know we had a great time. If you weren't, well, I'm going to fill you in on some of the highlights. In addition to President Trump, who spoke on Friday, we had Chairman of the House Freedom Caucus Mark Meadows, conservative talk radio host Dana Loesch, House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. We had Breitbart CEO Steve Bannon, along with many, many, many others. And I'll play a few of those highlights for you here in a little bit. Also, the Wall Street Journal, again, pulling back the curtain on the Southern Poverty Law Center today in a piece called Fake News from the SPLC. Interesting piece. The author, Jerry Beer, joins us to explain. And another high-ranking military officer is canned for inappropriate conduct with the wife of another soldier. Is the military creating this environment with its mixed signals on morality? We'll talk about it later here on Washington Watch. Also, we'll get to the phone lines, take your phone calls today. The website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, folks, coming up in April, if you're interested, you'd like to take a trip to the Holy Land. April 17th to the 27th, the Family Research Council taking its own tour. We'll be joined by Michelle Bachman, New York Times bestselling author Joel Rosenberg, General Jerry Boykin, and former Ambassador Ken Blackwell. Great, great trip. Find out more. Go to TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. All right, another Values Voter Summit is now in the books. Nearly 2,000 conservatives gathered for the 12th annual event at the Omnishorm Hotel in Washington, D.C. this past weekend, hearing from top lawmakers, including the Commander-in-Chief himself, President Donald Trump. We played a little bit of that on Friday, but that was just the warm-up. I mean, we had Todd Starnes was there. He was outstanding. Everybody was great. It was just a great lineup. And then we finished yesterday morning with a worship time. And then I brought a message from Philippians chapter 1. But just a great time for conservatives to be together to encourage one another, to have breakout sessions on different issues. And frankly, just drive the liberal media crazy. A lot of press from the event, and they were just beside themselves that the president came and spoke as he did. In fact, I want you to hear, these are just, I really encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over and watch all of this. But here are just a few clips from the president's speech at the Values Voter Summit. Listen to this.
We protect religious liberty. Religious liberty is enshrined in the very First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. And we all pledge allegiance to very, very beautifully one nation under God. We are stopping cold the attacks on Judeo-Christian values. And something I said so much during the last 2 years, you know, we're getting near that beautiful Christmas season that people don't talk about anymore. They don't use the word Christmas because it's not politically correct. You go to department stores and they'll say Happy New Year and they'll say other things and it'll be red. They'll have it painted, but they don't say, well, guess what? We're saying Merry Christmas again. We know that it's the family and the church, not government officials, that know best how to create strong and loving communities. And above all else, we know this in America, we don't worship government, we worship God.
Well, for those that heard the president's speech on Friday morning, they didn't have to get their workout earlier in the day because they were up and down on their feet. The president receiving an extremely enthusiastic welcome. And it was interesting. I did a number of interviews with the press after that And, you know, people say, well, why are they so excited to see the president? Well, number one, he is the president. Number two is that unlike others that in the past, and I'm including Republicans in that, that this president has actually followed through on the promises that he made on the campaign trail. He promised that, I mean, you remember, we've talked about this before, but the third and final presidential debate that was in Las Vegas, I was in the audience, and I was, when the president went into challenging Hillary Clinton on late-term abortion, and the words that he used, which were his own, they were not scripted, I could tell because they just weren't. It at that point, I knew that he had locked in the support of the pro-life community. Within 72 hours of taking office, he not only reinstituted the Mexico City policy, which prohibits taxpayers from being forced to fund abortion overseas, but he expanded it, taking it from, you know, roughly covering programs that equaled about, a little over $500 million to now covering several $1 billion in expenditures. So he's done that. He sent out a message 2 weeks ago when the House was dealing with the 20-week pain bill, the 5-month pain bill is really what it is, stating that he would support it. The White House stating that the president, as the policy is, would support it. He's been very clear on that, saying that he would appoint pro-life justices, and he has. So the president has been keeping his promises. He's been protecting religious liberty, issuing the executive order. Then a week ago, this past Friday, the guidance from the Department of Justice. So people were receptive to the fact that he's been doing what he said he was going to do. And then it was interesting. Several asked me, what does he mean by Merry Christmas? Let's see. Be jovial? Be happy? No. What does he mean? I mean, it was like this was some kind of code word that he was communicating to the social conservatives, and they were, you know, they were getting out their, you know, their 1975 cereal boxes to see if they could decode the message. Yeah, I said, yeah, it is code. He's actually signaling to conservatives it's time to take over the country. Now, look, it's real simple. He is saying that, look, we don't have to hide our faith anymore. If you're a Christian, feel free to say Merry Christmas. Feel free to share your faith. Feel free to live your life according to your faith. That's why this president is getting so much support. Now, I've seen some on the right who were never Trumpers who are saying, you know, I don't see how you can support this guy. How could you invite him to come to the Values Voter Summit? Well, I mean, I'm looking at his policies that he has initiated since he took office. I've not seen a president do this in my lifetime. Not the way he has. So I would suggest to the never Trumpers that I would ask him a question. What are you looking for? What would it take for you to be supportive of a president that's doing the things we've actually asked him to do, to protect religious freedom, to help further a culture of life, and to end taxpayers' forced partnership with it? And what do you want? I mean, I think we have to be very careful that, and I've been clear with my conversations with the White House, if they're right, we're with them, and we'll support them. If they're wrong, we're not going to support them. It's that simple. We're focused on the policies. Anyway, the president did a great job. And I think he even broke some new ground in terms of, he said, you know, he made a clear contrast with what was yesterday in terms of the hostility toward religious freedom in America and what is a new day. So it was a great speech. And again, I would encourage you to take a look at the whole thing. All right. Also, Mark Meadows, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, was there, and he was fired up. Listen to what he had to say.
But we need to help him, don't you think? Don't you think it's time that Congress quits talking and they start doing? Isn't it time? If we don't get behind this agenda, and an America First agenda, if we do not get behind it, it is time that you send us home. Now, I love to shoot. I love to actually go out with my son and shoot. And so when you go out to shoot, you can shoot a lot of shells. All the shells look exactly the same. In fact, you can put them in, and as you shoot, well, occasionally you come across one where you pull the trigger, and it's a dud. Now, you have two options. You can leave that in the chamber and pull the trigger again and again and see if it fires, or you can eject it and put in another shell. I would suggest we have some members that are duds that have been left in the chamber too long, and it's time that we eject them. What do you think? It is time. It is time.
Well, he was firing both barrels. He wasn't holding anything back. Congressman Mark Meadows, chairman of the Freedom Caucus, saying it's time that Congress support the president in his policies, in his agenda. And, you know, the Freedom Caucus has been there. You know, when the president's been right on these things, and they've negotiated to make these initiatives stronger, like they did on the repeal of Obamacare. So, Mark Meadows had the crowd really, really worked up. Also, a really inspiring moment was when my good friend, former colleague from Louisiana, now House Majority Whip Steve Scalise, came and spoke to the Values Voter Summit, having to use crutches as he's still unable to walk on his own after the shooting that took place almost 4 months ago. Here's what Steve had to say to the Values voters.
Right after I was shot, I fall down and I just start crawling away from the gunfire. And once my arms gave out and I couldn't crawl anymore, I laid there, and the first thing I said is, I'm just going to pray. And I prayed to God. I prayed to him for a lot of very specific things, because I knew at that point there was nothing else I can do. And I've always had a deep faith. But, of course, a time like this, you really are calling on God in a more important way, where you're really asking him to do some things that are pretty mighty. So we're going to continue working with President Trump. Right now I'm working very closely with him on tax reform. And let me tell you how important tax reform is to families across America. First of all, the fact that we're going to lower every rate. We're going to lower rates for families. We're going to lower rates, the highest corporate rate in the world that is killing jobs in America. Let's bring those jobs back to America. How about if we repeal the death tax completely? Double the child tax credit. And what if, in our bill, by the way, this is one of the components of our bill, we simplify the tax code in a way that over 90% of all Americans can actually fill out their taxes on a postcard. Or for young people, you can fill it out on your smartphone.
Folks, that was Majority Whip Steve Scalise. Don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch. A Wall Street Journal article exposes the continued peddling of fake news by the Southern Poverty Law Center. We'll talk with journalist Jerry Beer when we return here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. A lot more to come.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers. In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, I don't know if you probably don't remember this, but it was a week before the November 8th election. There was some attacker set a historically black church in Greenville, Mississippi, on fire. While the state fire marshal told the Associated Press in December he did not believe the crime was politically motivated, the Southern Poverty Law Center hailed the fire as a harbinger of what has become a national outbreak of hate as white supremacists celebrated Donald Trump's victory. With us now is Jerry Beer. He is a freelance writer primarily for the Weekly Standard. He wrote an investigative piece for the Weekly Standard last month about the Southern Poverty Law Center's $70 million in offshore investments and last week's op-ed, Fake News from the SPLC. Jerry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
Now, you investigated this fire in Mississippi in relation to SPLC's reporting. What did you find?
Well, my interest in it, I simply ran across the report that they had issued after about 3 weeks after the election last year, this 10 days after harassment and hate in the aftermath of the election. And just out of curiosity, I looked up some of the names that were mentioned in the report and found that 3 weeks after this report had been issued by the SPLC, someone had been arrested for the crime, but it was a member of the church. And the police did not believe that the church had actually been spray-painted with Vote Trump and completely destroyed in the fire. But their investigation led them to this man who was a member of that church. He's been indicted since and is awaiting a trial date, but they still don't have a motive behind it. But obviously, it was not what it originally appeared.
Now, in the course of the investigation, as the AP had reported, the fire marshal did not think it was politically motivated. Was there any point in which the law enforcement official suggested that this was racially motivated, politically motivated?
Not that I could find. That seemed to be the characterization to begin with when the fire first happened. It was covered quite extensively a week before the election, and there was speculation by the mayor of Greenville who was, of course, upset, saying this is the kind of thing that, you know, used to happen back in the 50s and 60s, but not not these days. The thing that I found most disturbing about it, I guess, is that in all the time since the report came out, and then 3 weeks afterwards when this man was arrested, his arrest was covered very extensively in the media by, you know, the major papers, the Post, the New York Times, all the networks. And yet during the 9 months that followed, this report remained out there by the SPLC. They continued to promote it. Just as recently as the 25th of September, they tweeted out a link to it that contained the original assertion that this had been attackers who were trying to engage in voter intimidation. And yet the Post itself had reported on this, and yet the Washington Post still hosts a copy of the original uncorrected report on their own website. And since the media is so inclined to refer to the Southern Poverty Law Center, this is actually their main thing. I mean, they've mm-hmm. gotten a lot of attention lately because of going after groups like yours and others. But this is the thing that they are supposed to really keep on top of. And yet somehow in the 9 months after their report, this report actually leads this anecdote is what they opened their report with. So it's not like it was buried somewhere in the details. This was the main thing they were using to show that there was this, this outbreak of hate based on the election. And it just, within hours after I contacted them last week, they had posted a correction to it. So it's not like they couldn't do it. It was just
it doesn't fit the narrative that they want to create.
Correct. And again, as I say, most of what they report on is reported to them by their own supporters or their own people who look up these news stories. But again, did no one report this in 9 months, or did they just not think it was worth correcting, especially since they let off the report with that anecdote?
Do they not subscribe to any of the national newspapers?
One wonders, but the media doesn't, as I said, this was published, my op-ed was published last Thursday, and yet the Washington Post themselves have not corrected their version of the report. They mm-hmm. still link to it on their site as, you know, this report of hate surrounding the election.
Well, Jerry Beer, let me ask you a question. I mean, look, the Southern Poverty Law Center has every right to exist. I mean, anybody
right.
can exist, and they can create their own platform, and they can speak. But they're supposed to be an arbiter, like a repository of this information. And it sounds like more they're trying to lead the narrative than report the narrative. I mean, they're not. If even law enforcement officials were saying they didn't think this was politically motivated, but yet they run out and use this as the sky is falling. This is what's going to be happening. And they don't bother to check the facts. That's troubling.
It is. And again, in some ways, I don't blame them specifically for pushing the side that backs their narrative because, you know, certainly a lot of groups, you know, trumpet the things that support their main cause.
Right.
But it is the, you know, just this past few days, I think it was that Newsweek headlined, President Trump is the first president to address a hate group. And they didn't even have hate group in quotes. And yet it was the Southern Poverty Law Center's characterization that they used in their headline.
Right, right. And they can't get the facts straight on what is supposed to be their bread and butter.
Correct.
On issues like this. Jerry Beer, thanks so much for joining us. Very interesting piece. I'm going to encourage people to take a look at it. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Jerry Beer, writing for the Wall Street Journal. You can find it by going to TonyPerkins.com. And the point here is the Southern Poverty Law Center, as I said, they have every right to do what they do. They just don't have a right to claim to be the repository for facts, because it's clear facts matter not to them. It is their created narrative. All right, when we come back, another Army general in trouble over inappropriate conduct. We'll talk about it here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Ever
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. All right. Interesting story hit the USA Today yesterday. It was in the print edition today. And I'm just going to read from it. Tom Vandenbroek, the author of this piece. Dateline Washington, the Army has sacked a two-star general who sent flirty messages to the wife of an enlisted soldier at his post in Italy, including one in which he referred to the woman as a hottie. Major General Joseph Harrington, until last month, had commanded U.S. American Africa, Army Africa, from his post in Europe. USA Today first reported about the Facebook messages triggering an inspector general's investigation, Harrington's suspension, and now his firing. Harrington's dismissal was due to a loss of confidence in his ability to command. Army Colonel Patrick Sieber, a spokesman, said in a statement, quote, the Army has been investigating allegations related to Major General Harrington's communications with the spouse of an enlisted soldier. However, since the review of the investigation is still ongoing, we can provide no further comment at this time, end quote. Now, Harrington's removal, continuing to quote from the article, Harrington's removal is likely a career killer for an officer whose future had seemed bright. He had been a top aide to the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Army General Martin Dempsey. Like several generals before him who have been snared in sex scandals, Harrington will probably be reassigned until the investigation is complete, and then a board of officers will determine the rank in which he last served satisfactorily. That will determine his rank in retirement. The Army, I'm going to jump ahead a couple paragraphs. The Army has seen several senior officers felled by scandal in recent years. They include Lieutenant General Ron Lewis, the former top advisor to then Defense Secretary Ash Carter, whose lavish tabs at strip bars on an official trip killed his career. He was stripped of a star. As was Major General Wayne Grigsby, whose relationship with a subordinate woman drew scrutiny. The Air Force and Navy have seen the careers of senior officers end in disgrace. And it goes on to list several others that have occurred. It's interesting. Ash Carter was the one who interjected as secretary, interjected a lot of the transgender policy, helped the president push his open homosexuality. Let me go on to the continuing in the articles. There's one last paragraph that I thought was significant. Again, quoting from the USA Today article, Harrington and the woman, decades his junior, exchanged dozens of messages, many of them personal and referring to her appearance. He called her a hottie in one, and others in which he acknowledged her husband, a sergeant, would not be happy with the relationship. Harrington also asked her to delete the messages. She didn't, and many of them were shared with USA Today. Until he was, so anyway. I thought the new standard of morality was consenting adults. Now notice, she consented. I mean, she was engaging in this. I'm being sarcastic here, folks, so before you start emailing me and calling, I think this is wrong. But who says it's wrong? The military code of conduct? True. But that also said that homosexuality was wrong. But that prohibition is no longer being enforced. In fact, people are punished for not celebrating homosexuality. Same was true of transgenderism. Here's what I'm getting at. It is wrong because it's immoral. It violates the moral law of the Creator. But this is what happens when society thinks it can give a green light to some forms of immoral behavior while red-lighting others. You end up with moral confusion. I mean, look at Hollywood. Long a place of immorality. But when you don't operate according to the moral, what do you say, what you're saying, what do you mean by moral law? Well, there's a moral law, and I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. The moral law runs parallel, but the moral law is like the laws of nature, and nature is God. These things are inscribed upon people's hearts. They're wrong for all people in all places and all times. It's always been held, with few exceptions, that, you know, while it might be winked at and accepted, it's still wrong for a man to make advances to another man's wife. And that's where we get our moral our moral code is innate. Now, it means we can suppress it, we can deny it, but that's where the moral confusion comes from, because it's people think, well, maybe I can get away with it because they can get away with that. That's acceptable today. Maybe I can do this. You see, when we deny that there is a moral law and a moral lawgiver, it leads to confusion and chaos. And we've seen this increasingly within the ranks of our nation's military. And this is dangerous. It's dangerous. And this is part of the correction that needs to happen with this administration. And because a lot of the older officers that had a moral standard that were pre-Obama were purged. This administration, and I'm not confident in the current Secretary of Defense, but might have to bring back some older officers that predated the Obama era. All right. We're coming back with your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more right after these messages.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
I'm Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch. Glad you're with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. I didn't talk about this, but it's making its round in the news, and I was asked about it in a couple interviews today. The New Yorker earlier today released a long profile, about 30 pages, on Vice President Mike Pence. And in one aspect or one part of it, and most of this is secondhand stuff, second and third hand, where it said the president had kind of mocked Pence's religiosity and, you know, chided him over his pro-life views and his views on marriage. And again, it's second, third hand. But I'm going to tell you what this is designed to do. It's designed to try to show that the president is just giving lip service to evangelicals and to social conservatives. Well, I mean, look, I don't know. Who knows what's inside a man's heart? And again, this report is based upon second and third hand reporting, comments that people have made, most of them, almost all of them, anonymously. But folks, here's what you got to keep your eye on. In fact, Ben Shapiro does a really good job in a piece taking this on, saying, you know, I know that people are using this to really go after the evangelicals who supported Trump. And say, see, we told you. And he pushes back in his piece, which is essentially what I said this morning in another interview, is that I'm looking at what he's doing. I'm looking at his policies, which I mentioned earlier in the program, that Mexico City expanded, religious liberty protected. And he's committing to follow through on the Johnson Amendment. Not a huge thing, but it is very symbolic, and I think it will lead to others. Momentum breeds momentum. And so, folks, I just think we need to keep our eye on the prize. And that is that we're shifting policies, we're shifting the culture. He's using the bully pulpit just as President Obama did, except in opposite directions. President Obama went to the human rights campaign's events and helped push their agenda of redefining marriage and human sexuality and opening bathrooms up to anybody and everybody, creating confusion and dangerous situations for people. This president is saying, you know what, we're not going to do that. We're going to return to traditional values. I know he's got a past, but let's look what he's doing in the present. I want to know what you think. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Tennessee where Susan is on the line. Susan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I just want to say I haven't heard your programs much, but I started listening to you lately. And President Trump has been the type of president we've needed since a long time, since about Reagan. And I'm not much into politics, but he is doing the right thing, I believe. And he's trying to bring the nation back to where the biblical scriptures were found. You know, the Constitution was founded on the biblical principles, and he's trying to bring us back to the way the founding fathers were believing. Mm-hmm. And he needs so much encouragement instead of all this put down that is given him.
I agree with you, Susan. And he was very encouraged this past weekend when he came to the Values Voter Summit, because the greeting, the welcome was enthusiastic. It was very, very strong. And what he's doing, I believe, and I was talking with somebody about this over the weekend, is I think what he is doing, he's giving the church, he's giving Christians the ability to exercise their faith in the public square, and is giving us the ability to impact the culture by the way we live. And he's not imposing, not trying to force this on the nation, but he's giving us the opportunity to, as Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples. We're able to do that. I think what he's trying to do is keep the door of religious freedom open, or reopen it after Barack Obama nailed it shut. Susan, thanks so much for the call. And I would also add to that, let's encourage folks to pray for the president. 866-372-7234. Let's go to the Lone Star State where Jerry is on the line. Jerry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for your program, Tony, and I enjoy seeing you interviewed on Fox and wherever you show up. I just wanted to share something that I believe God planted in my head about Donald Trump, because I did not like it when he won the primary. But I prayed with God about how to deal with it, and I could not have been clever enough to come up with this myself. But the thought came to my mind, would you have voted for Peter to lead the church if you had been walking around with Jesus and the disciples when he cut off the ear and he, you know, was hard on those little kids that were sitting at Jesus' feet? And Peter kind of flew off at the mouth, and he did things that looked like they were very impulsive, and yet he was bold, and God used that. So that's all I have to say. I think Trump is very similar, and I do believe that God is using him.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. Appreciate the kind comments and the phone call, and thanks for listening. I was not supporting Donald Trump in the primary. In fact, I sat down with him, and he asked me to support him. I said, you know, Mr. Trump, you know, you're not the one that's most closely aligned with me in my views. And so I aggressively worked for, and those of you who have listened for a while know this, I was campaigning with Ted Cruz around the country. But when he dropped out, it was really a choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. So we began a conversation with Donald Trump. And I do think the thing that, and Jerry touched on this, I think the thing that has most attracted people to Donald Trump is his courage to speak up and to take on this political correctness, to take on the media. I mean, whoever thought that somebody out of New York, a billionaire, would take on the establishment and not be a part of the establishment and walk in closer connection with the average American out here trying to make a living and raise their kids with the values that they grew up with, who thought it would be a New York billionaire who would be their advocate to allow them to do that? Jerry got a great point. Thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Louisiana, where Clayton is on the line. Clayton, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Good to talk to you. I just got a couple of little comments. I'm really, really tired of all the citizenship of this country that didn't vote for Donald Trump, giving him down the river the way they are, and also the Republican Party. I was not a Trump supporter either to begin with, but something you said just a few minutes ago, he does things the opposite way of Obama. That's what we needed. We needed someone 180 degrees from Obama, and I think God puts the leaders in place. I think God put Donald Trump in place. I know he can be crude and rude, but he is trying desperately to keep his campaign promises. And the Republican senators and House of Representatives need to understand that. They need to get behind him, and people need to understand that he was elected by the majority of the people. Not the majority, but he was elected by law to the presidency of the United States. And another thing, I think, Tony, the man, I don't know what his salvation is. I don't know. But he's probably already quoted more scripture in the short term he's been president than Obama ever did. Oh, and something is working on the man. And God can take a hold of him and change his heart if it needs changing. And that's what we need. We need a Christian man in this country as president. And I think God is working on him. That's all I had to say.
Thank you, Clayton. I appreciate the call. Thanks for listening to Washington Watch. Well, I can't add much to that. I would add this. I don't expect the left to get in line behind this president. Now, you know, I opposed President Obama's policies because, you know, trying to remake the military, use it as a laboratory for social experimentation. Now, what this president doing is just as Clayton said, he's just going the opposite direction. He's rolling back the policies that Barack Obama put in place that endangered our nation's security, began to degrade our military's readiness, and of course, it goes on from there. My point is that as conservatives in this country, in particular, the vast majority of our audience, you know, we're on about 250 stations, 42 states across the country. Primarily, not exclusively, but primarily, we're on Christian stations. And I know that there are many who didn't support Donald Trump. I didn't in the primary either. However, I did as he began to embrace the policies that were enunciated and articulated in the party platform, which I helped write. And he committed to those, and now he's actually been following through with those. He's given us no reason not to support him at this point. And this is a moment in time in which we have, I think actually Steve Bannon said, well, there's a book called The Fourth Turning. And he made reference to it this weekend as he spoke. And it goes back to the War for Independence. It was a turning point for the nation. It was a deciding factor in who we would become. And then there was the Civil War. And then there was the Great Depression and World War II. All of those turning points, and he's in the book, The Fourth Turning, suggests that we're in that fourth turning, that what we do here in the next decade will determine what kind of nation if we'll be a nation. And so this, there's a critical aspect of the timing. And this might not last long at all, because historically, when a president is elected like this in the first midterm election, they usually lose seats. It just generally happens. The American people kind of like divided government. So the window is shrinking. Now, I'm hoping that the Republicans, I'm hoping they'll change some players. As Mark Meadows said in that clip I played of him earlier, that they'll eject the duds, the dud rounds, and they'll put in some live rounds. And we'll get some true conservatives that will help advance this agenda. But, folks, we've got to be engaged, and we've got to be supportive of the right policies this president puts forth. If he doesn't do the right policies, absolutely, we speak to that. But he's doing the right thing. So we need not to take our eye off the ball and be divided by the media that is looking for an opportunity to drive a wedge between the president and his key support base. And that's what the media is constantly trying to do. All right, very quickly, I want to work another call here. Let's go to Texas, where Nelson is on the line. Nelson, welcome to Washington Watch. Very quickly.
Hi, Mr. Tony Perkins. How are you doing? I listen to your radio show every day. Every day, listen to American Family Radio very faithfully. I support, I have the same view. My candidate was not Donald Trump, it was Ted Cruz. However, when the all things were said and done, we had one candidate, by no means Hillary or any other one behind Hillary could have been elected. I have my full support to President Trump, my full support. I know he's been faced with a lot of challenges. People who are supposed to be on his side are not. But on the other hand, besides that, I think we have to pray for him so that when he comes across, God puts wisdom in the words that he expresses. Because first and foremost, I am a pastor. I am a Republican, and in that order. And in addition to that, I am from the island of Puerto Rico. I'm here in Texas. And with the thing, you know, when Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, it's like Katrina times 10.
Right.
And after we all heard what our president, my president, expressed on what to do with FEMA and the military support as a Republican.
Hey, Nelson, we're going to have to leave it there. We're up against a hard break. The show's just about over, but I want to thank you for calling and for being a faithful listener. And I want to emphasize what you said. We need to be praying for this president. Folks, we're out of time for today. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls, but Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.